You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on Steal Like an Artist. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on Steal Like an Artist. 10 Things Nobody Told You About Being Creative by Austin Kleon. As always, let's kick it off with a quote. All advice is autobiographical. It's one of my theories that when people give you advice, they're really just talking to themselves in the past. This book is me talking to a previous version of myself. These are things I've learned over almost a decade of trying to figure out how to make art. But a funny thing happened when I started sharing them with others. I realized that they aren't just for artists, they're for everyone. These ideas apply to anyone who's trying to inject some creativity into their life and their work. That should describe all of us. In other words, this book is for you. Whoever you are, whatever you make, let's get started. End quote. That is Austin Kleon from Steal Like an Artist. This is a great little book. It's super quick reading, inspiring, and beautifully designed. Guaranteed to fire you up, and it'll look good on your coffee table. You and your guests will enjoy flipping through the fun little doodles throughout. The book is packed with little gems on the creative process that we can apply to both our work and our lives. It reminds me of Stephen Pressfield's War of Art trilogy. See the notes on that, plus Do the Work, plus Turning Pro. The idea to steal like an artist is, as per the subtitle, just one of 10 things nobody told you about being creative. Let's take a quick look at the other 9 things, and then a few of my favorite big ideas we can apply to our lives today. First big idea, 10 things nobody told you about being creative. Number 1, steal like an artist. Number 2, don't wait until you know who you are to get started. 3, write the book you want to read. 4, use your hands. 5, side projects and hobbies are important. 6, the secret. Do good work and share it with people. 7, geography is no longer our master. 8, be nice. The world is a small town. 9, be boring. It's the only way to get work done. And 10, creativity is subtraction. End quote. Those are the 10 things nobody taught us about how to be creative. They're also the chapters of the book, each supported by a few big ideas and stories and awesome little drawings. Now we're ready to take a peek at a few of my favorite ideas. Next big idea, start copying. Even the Beatles started as a cover band. Quote, nobody is born with a style or voice. We don't come out of the womb knowing who we are. In the beginning, we learn by pretending to be our heroes. We learn by copying. We're talking about practice here, not plagiarism. Plagiarism is trying to pass someone else's work off as your own. Copying is about reverse engineering. It's like a mechanic taking apart a car to see how it works. We learn to write by copying down the alphabet. Musicians learn to play by practicing scales. Painters learn to paint by reproducing masterpieces. Remember, even the Beatles started as a cover band. End quote. That's such a great image. The Beatles as a cover band. The Beatles? Yep, cover band. Here's how Twyla Tharp addresses the subject of copying in her classic, The Creative Habit. See those notes? She tells us, quote, if there's a lesson here, it's get busy copying. That's not a popular notion today, not when we are all instructed to find our own way, admonished to be original, and find our own voice at all costs. But it's sound advice. Traveling the paths of greatness, even in someone else's footprints, is a vital means to acquiring skill, end quote. Kobe Bryant loved to copy all the best moves from the greatest who came before him. Hunter S. Thompson used an old-school typewriter to type out, word for word, F. Scott Fitzgerald's Great Gatsby and Ernest Hemingway's Farewell to Arms just so he could experience the feeling of typing a masterpiece. As I've said before, that's essentially what I'm doing with these notes. This is Philosopher's Note number 296. Current plan? Get to 1,000 in the next 5.5 years. I'll be putting another 10,000 hours in, swimming in the wisdom of some of the world's best teachers and writers, typing out a handful of their thoughts, and challenging myself to distill their wisdom into the core, most practical components. In the process, I'm developing my own style and getting more and more comfortable with expressing myself my way as I grab cool little aspects of every author's style and wisdom. Back to you. Who and what do you love? Start copying them. Get in the head of the masters you admire as you cultivate your own style. That leads us to the next big idea. Take care of yourself. Quote, I'm a boring guy with a 9-to-5 job who lives in a quiet neighborhood with his wife and his dog. That whole romantic image of the creative genius doing drugs and running around and sleeping with everyone is played out. It's for the superhuman and the people who want to die young. The thing is, it takes a lot of energy to be creative. You don't have that energy if you waste it on other stuff. End quote. So, you want to be brilliant creatively? Consider being otherwise rather boring. Save your best energy for the stuff that matters. The last note I worked on was The Great Work of Your Life by Stephen Cope. See those notes. In that book, he applies the wisdom of the Bhagavad Gita, see those notes as well, to our modern lives. His book is all about dharma, our sacred duty to actualize our potential and do the work we're here to do. One of his big ideas is the fact that the great people we admire created the right conditions for their genius to flourish. He tells us, quote, having first named and claimed our dharma, we next begin to systematically organize all of our life's energies around our calling. Scott Adams, creator of Dilbert, talks about the great comfort he finds in routine. Here's how he puts it in How to Fail at Almost Everything and Still Win Big. Check out those notes. He says, quote, Barry Schwartz, author of The Paradox of Choice, tells us that people become unhappy if they have too many options in life. The problem with options is that choosing any path can leave you plagued with self-doubt. You quite rationally think that one of the paths not chosen might have worked out better. That can eat you. Choosing among attractive alternatives can also be exhausting. You want to feel as if you researched and considered all of your options. That's why I find great comfort in routine. If you ask me today where I will be at 6:20 a.m. on a Saturday morning in the year 2017, I'll tell you, I will be at my desk finishing the artwork on some comics I drew earlier in the week. That's what I was doing last Saturday at that time and what I plan to do this Saturday as well. I can't recall the last time I woke up and looked at my options for what to do first. It's always the same, at least for the first few hours of my day. Plus, he says, I never waste a brain cell in the morning trying to figure out what to do when. Compare that with some people you know who spend 2 hours planning and deciding for every task that takes 1 hour to complete. I'm happier than those people. End quote. How about you? How can you make your life more boring so it becomes more interesting? Seriously, how can you? Got a little space to write this down in the PDF. I shall hereby make my life more boring by removing this. You got it? All right. And you will make it more interesting by adding this. Awesome. And here's a little more on that. Next big idea, establish a routine. Quote, the worst thing a day job does is take time away from you, but it makes up for that by giving you a daily routine in which you can schedule a regular time for your creative pursuits. Establishing and keeping a routine can be even more important than having a lot of time. Inertia is the death of creativity. You have to stay in the groove. When you get out of the groove, you start to dread the work because you know it's going to suck for a while. It's going to suck until you get back into the flow. End quote. Quick note here, Austin had a 9-to-5 full-time day job while he was getting going in his creative career. He published a couple books and did a ton of work while he worked 40 hours a week with a normal job. So no more excuses. His job forced him to create structure in his life and consistently allocate a certain amount of energy to his other creative pursuits. Once he had that momentum, he kept it. Inertia is the death of creativity. It's also the death of all things good habits-wise, whether it's exercise or meditation or nutrition or whatever. Once we get the ball rolling, let's keep it rolling. Remember, establishing and keeping a routine can be even more important than having a lot of time. Back to you. How can you dial in your routine a little more? Next big idea, amassing a body of work. Quote, amassing a body of work or building a career is a lot about the slow accumulation of little bits of effort over time. Writing a page each day doesn't seem like much, but do it for 365 days and you have enough to fill a novel. End quote. The Buddha tells us that we create a happy life or a miserable one, just like a water pot is filled with water, little by little, drop by drop. That's also how we create a body of work we're proud of. Little by little, baby step by baby step. By showing up day in and day out, day after day after day after day. So, what water pot do you need to fill and want to fill? And what's your next drop? Keep this next big idea in mind as you figure that out. Limitations mean freedom. Quote, in this age of information abundance and overload, those who get ahead will be the folks who figure out what to leave out so they can concentrate on what's really important to them. Nothing is more paralyzing than the idea of limitless possibilities. The idea that you can do anything is absolutely terrifying. The way to get over a creative block is to simply place some constraints on yourself. It seems contradictory, but when it comes to creative work, limitations mean freedom. The right constraints can lead to your very best work. My favorite example? Dr. Seuss wrote The Cat in the Hat with only 236 different words. So his editor bet him he couldn't write a book with only 50 different words. Dr. Seuss came back and won the bet with Green Eggs and Ham, one of the best-selling children's books of all time. End quote. So, want to stress yourself out? Convince yourself you can do anything and everything. Tal Ben-Shahar tells us this is one of the primary differences between an unhealthy perfectionist and a healthy perfectionist, who is so different he calls them an optimalist. The unhealthy perfectionist fails to deal with the constraints of reality. They truly believe they can have it all, and that drives them literally nuts. You ever do that? Now, the optimalist, on the other hand, still holds very high standards, but they have a healthy relationship with reality. They know they can't do everything. There are only 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, and perfection simply doesn't exist. Check out the notes on The Pursuit of Perfect for more if you haven't looked at that yet. Barry Schwartz describes this in a general sense in his classic Paradox of Choice. See those notes as well. The paradox? More choice doesn't lead to more happiness. It leads to less happiness. We're constantly bombarded with choices, choices, and more choices. Whether it's the 132 styles of jeans we can buy, or the 87 types of cereal, or the countless other mundane and more significant choices we face daily, we're overwhelmed by options. Infinite choices. And we think that's good. It's not. We need to deliberately constrain ourselves, especially with our creativity. Here's how the great composer Igor Stravinsky put it. The more constraints one imposes, the more one frees oneself. And the arbitrariness of the constraint serves only to obtain precision in the execution. My coach, Steve Chandler, shared that Stravinsky quote with me in the same conversation he told me Alan Watts once said that tennis is more fun with a court. Constraints are good. Austin tells us, quote, write a song on your lunch break. Paint a painting with only one color. Start a business without any startup capital. Shoot a movie with your iPhone and a few friends. Build a machine out of spare parts. Don't make excuses for not working. Make things with the time, space, and materials you have right now. End quote. So, what are some constraints you can apply to your life and work? P.S. Here are a few of my constraints. Every single one of these philosopher's notes is 6 pages long, not 4 or 5 or 7 or 8. 6. Yes, I'd often like more space and a little less once in a while, but the constraint is 6, and that makes it so easy. PNTV episodes are 10 minutes long. I used to be absolute about that. Now I'm a little more flexible, but it's 10 plus or minus 2 minutes, not 25 minutes sometimes and 4 minutes other times. 10. Same with the micro classes. 3 minutes is the sweet spot. Each of those constraints helps my creativity. How about you? That brings us to our final big idea. Some advice may be a vice. Quote, some advice may be a vice. Feel free to take what you can use and leave the rest. There are no rules. End quote. I love that. There are no rules. In fact, some advice may be a vice. Nietzsche tells us, see the notes on Thus Spoke Zarathustra, this is my way. Where is yours? Thus I answered those who asked me the way. For the way, that does not exist. Well, Emerson tells us, trust thyself. Every heart vibrates to that iron string. What's your way? Here's to experimenting as we create our path and live our ever-evolving truths as we optimize and actualize. Well, there you go. That's a quick look at this great book, Steal Like an Artist, Austin Kleon. Thank you, Austin. If you enjoyed this, I think you'll also enjoy the notes on The War of Art, So Good They Can't Ignore You, The Creative Habit, The Creativity Book, Do the Work, and Turning Pro. Now, let's take a quick look at some great quotes from the sidebar. Pablo Picasso tells us, art is theft. Austin tells us, ask anybody doing truly creative work, and they'll tell you the truth. They don't know where the good stuff comes from. They just show up to do their thing every day. If there is a secret formula for becoming known, I would give it to you. But there's only one not-so-secret formula that I know. Do good work and share it with people. Be regular and orderly in your life so that you may be violent and original in your work, Gustave Flaubert tells us. Back to Austin, who says, what a good artist understands is that nothing comes from nowhere. All creative work builds on what came before. Nothing is completely original. Collect books, even if you don't plan on reading them right away. Nothing is more important than an unread library. There you go. Steal Like an Artist, 10 big ideas we're never taught about what it means to be creative. I hope you enjoyed. What was the idea that jumped out and landed? How are you going to make that a bigger part of your life? Think about it. Get on it. Look forward to sharing more. Have another awesome day. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to brianjohnson.me to download more.